Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Alright guys, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of BL Gaming Podcast. I'm Flopsy, we got Digi over here, we got Ender's Logic. So this week was Evo, so I thought we'd start us off with a little fighting game trivia. This pulled directly from Wiki, so if any of this is wrong, blame Wiki, don't blame me. So, we got 10 quick questions, I'll ask them, shout them out. Some of them are going to be hard, some of them probably are not going to be hard. So here we go. What was the first fighting game, and when did it come out?
Kung Fu for Nintendo, and that was like 89?
Wow, you're way up. It was Kung Fu, or it was Karate Champ, was the first one.
Wait a second, was it Kung Fu or Karate Champ? Kung Fu was the side-scroller where you went through this dojo and like kicked and punched guys, right?
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, but no, I remember that one.
It was Karate Champ. And it was 1984. But there was actually one called Heavyweight Champion, which was the first fighting game, so to speak, because it was a boxing game in 1976. But most people consider Karate Champ the first one. Hmm. What was the first one to have projectile?
Oh, man. I'm going to go ahead. I'm probably going to be wrong here, but I'm going to say Street Fighter 1.
Bobby, you want to throw in any sort of guesses yet?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's called Yi-R Kung Fu, and it came out in 1985.
Oh, man.
All right. When did Street Fighter come out?
One or two?
The original.
1990?
89. 87. As a side note, it was also the first fighting game to introduce blocking. So why did Capcom eventually go to a six-button layout? Because the original game did not have six buttons.
Well, the buttons are for degrees of punches, right?
Yes, correct.
From strong to weak.
Yeah. But the original game only had two buttons for punch and kick, and it was pressure sensitive. The problem was the arcades
buttons were breaking.
The arcades kept breaking, so they changed it from pressure sensitivity to a six button layout, and that stuck around. So the original game was designed by a guy. He changed companies and created his spiritual successor to Street Fighter. What was it called?
Damn, I don't. I'm gonna say Fatal Fury, but
boom, you are correct.
Oh wow.
First one. All right. What was the first fighting game with 3D polygon graphics and a viewpoint that zoomed and rotated with the action?
Virtua Fighter.
There you go. Good job. What system was SNK versus Capcom first released on?
Neo Geo.
Close.
TurboGrafx 16.
It was Neo Geo, but it was the handheld one. It was Neo Geo Pocket Color.
Oh, of course.
Okay. That was really interesting. Like that was all the rage back in the day because you could play the Neo Geo games. It was the same cartridge.
Yeah.
You could go straight from home into the portable.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
They eventually had that adapter. Well, they had the adapter for the Super Nintendo where you could play Game Boy games on a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Mm. So reverse engineer.
Almost done. How many copies did Super Street Fighter 4 sell?
5 million.
Close. You are very close. Mill?
7 million.
The correct answer is 6 million. So who created the Mortal Kombat games? What?
Acclaim?
Midway.
Midway?
The developer, I mean.
Midway.
It's Midway actually NetherRealm's developer?
No, yeah. Now. Not yeah. Then.
Well, I'm talking about now.
Oh.
And how about Guilty Gear? Do you guys know who made Guilty Gear?
That was SNK, too, right? No?
It's called Arc System Works.
Oh, well, they can go fuck themselves.
The last one related to Evo in fighting game tournaments. Who was playing in the iconic Chun-Li versus Ken 2004 match? And you know the one I'm talking about. Where
that was Daigo?
Yeah.
Versus Justin Wong.
You are correct.
Yeah. Man, and they're still around today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking 90% of our listeners just fucking stopped listening.
Okay.
I don't think PC gamers play that on the on the
Mortal Kombat sold really well on the PC, I thought.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's changing. I think it's just because now they have controllers.
Yep.
PC gamers have controllers now, and so it's changing. Remember, that was a big reveal that Street Fighter V was going to be a simultaneous release with.
Yep.
That's huge for, you know, so obviously there's a revenue stream for them there.
And they're doing some big beta sign up because they're going to do some stuff. So if you look out there, they're doing beta sign ups for Street Fighter V.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to throw this out there about Street Fighter V just because I read about it. All DLC is going to be earnable through the game. So they're kind of taking the MOBA aspect of it.
It's called Games as a Service. That's kind of the hot kind of terminology that's being used right
now. These
days. Yeah, Games as a Service, and that's kind of the MOBA architecture where you can earn shit
by playing. Which you're adding value to the game because there's a bigger community.
But then generally they're considered freemium games where they're free to download and play, but if you want any of the premium content, you basically pay for it.
But that's like, not this.
That's what they're talking about is games as a service. Now, I'm not sure because they mentioned specifically games as a service when they did the announcement. So I'm not sure if they're going to go free to play with premium.
Oh, I think it's definitely going to be a $50 game or
you
whatever.
Think so?
Yeah. But what they're trying to get away from is, I guess this was a big thing with Street Fighter 4, was that balancing would change because a new character would come out. And you would have to pay money to keep up with the meta.
Yeah.
And that's not fair, right? So they promise that you will never have to do that again. So that's what they're going for. It's a good direction for them. I don't know how much time we should spend on Evo. That was going to be in the news.
Do
you want to finish it off?
Well, I mean, we watched some of the... We didn't watch anything live, but we watched some YouTube.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch. If you guys are into fighting games at all... It's a lot of fun to watch these ones. Like, we were watching...
Like, stuff we don't even play.
Yeah, stuff we don't play. Smash Brothers.
It's just... It's kind of like a thing where you can see... There, you could hear the audience. You know that millions of people are watching this. It's an important thing, you know? People care about this. And then it adds to the intense... how intense the match you're watching. If that was just two guys at the arcade and you're watching them, it'd be a pretty good match. Oh, this is pretty...
Yeah.
Like, it's a good match for sure. And these guys are really good. But because you know how important this is and how important this is to each of those players, it raises the importance and thus how much you enjoy it. Think of a MOBA match if you know how to play MOBA matches, but it's all done in like 5 minutes.
Like it's way less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
These are like 30 second matches.
Well, I'm talking about the whole match.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's kind of like if you like watching esports, it's a condensed esports. And, I mean, it goes so fast. I was complaining about this to, chat yesterday where real fighting has replays and this doesn't because there's no resting periods for the fighters. They just ready on up. And so you can't even relish in the majesty of what just happened. You know what I mean? So, nothing spectacular really happened this year. I watched, I think, all of the grand finals, but, they were competitive. There was no landslides. Really cool. Apparently, the guy who took the Street Fighter 4 Ultra.
Which is like the big headline.
That's the big one. I mean, that's why they all get together. Apparently, he had a broken controller and still won at a certain point. And he turned it in for another one. He switched it out. Kind of like a NASCAR driver getting some new tires or something.
Yeah.
Well, when the controller breaks, the game automatically pauses, right?
I don't know.
Not necessarily.
Depending on how.
It depends on if it gets disconnected, it will, but not if a button fails or something like that.
Hmm.
But yeah, so I play a lot of, I play Mortal Kombat at work. And so that was fun to watch some of the Mortal Kombat matches, see some of the crazy combos that they can pull off. And the other thing about fighting games is cool because like each fighting game kind of fits a different kind of profile, a different style. Like, Marvel versus Capcom is very combo heavy. You're pulling out 50 hit combos and stuff versus Tekken, which, you know, is juggling versus Street Fighter, which has kind of combos that you have to be very precise on. And
that's
the frames that you get to link the combos are very tight.
I want to say that Street Fighter has the highest, input, agility that you need, you know, It has the highest threshold as far as like actual movements that you're typing in. Input controls.
At work, we were fucking around with Street Fighter 4, and because my buddy, who's a big Mortal Kombat, he's a fan of Mortal Kombat. He was watching Evo, and now he's trying to get into Street Fighter. And I told him, dude, this is not the game for you, because it's got like a challenge mode, which is kind of like a training mode, but it tells you what to do, and you've got to match the ones.
Yeah.
And
I can't do those.
Yeah, you get up to like 7 or 8, and it's asking for like medium punch into medium kick.
Yeah,
and you get only like 1 or 2 frames to get them to connect together.
Yeah.
And my buddy was getting so frustrated because it's not like that at like in Mortal Kombat or any.
Playing that game for fucking 15 years, and I can't do those things. Yeah.
Well, they've changed a lot. Plus, I mean, it's like a tag team mode, isn't it? Now, like you pick 3 characters when you play the game.
No, not for Street Fighter.
No, that's Marvel vs. Combat.
Marvel vs. Capcom.
Those are hard to follow, though. The Street Fighter ones and the Marvel vs. Capcom. There's just so much going on. I mean, it looks like some crazy anime.
I wouldn't. If you're just taking our advice and gonna go check out the Evo content, stay away from Marvel vs. Capcom. It's just too much.
It's kind of fun to like, because there's so much going on the screen that
it's cool looking. Yeah, it's cool looking. But you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah,
maybe the announcers. The announcers don't really help. Like I was telling Chad again yesterday about the announcers. If the announcers for like regular fighting were this enthusiastic, they'd probably be deemed unprofessional and lose their job. But these guys are like, oh, shit, like, I can't even talk about what just happened. Literally, that's his job. His job is to talk about what happened. He's like, I can't speak, you know? And I don't know. They really love this shit. They really do. And it comes through, and we enjoy watching.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some actual PC games, huh?
Yep.
PC games, all right.
What are those like?
What have we been playing this week?
So let's go with Hex.
Yeah.
Hex is a tradable card game that doesn't have physical cards. And I think that's its strongest suit. It's kind of like the thing that really made me think twice about Hearthstone right off the bat was, oh, they can do things that aren't, that doesn't hold them back because there's no physical cards equivalent.
Yeah.
They can do things like, I don't know, change cards permanently or affect cards that are in your deck or
the biggest
any
thing,
number of things.
Like Hearthstone, the biggest thing for me is the permanent damage on the characters, which is if you were using physical cards,
so hard to
you would have to be doing tokens or pencil. Yeah. Yeah. The fact that they can just do that.
Yeah,
that's one of the biggest advantages for having it electronic only.
And now, if you're a fan of the podcast, you've known that Chad and I have said that Magic the Gathering is probably the greatest game that's ever been made.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about PC game. We're just saying best game ever. The problem with Magic the Gathering is the money. What do you call it? The entry level cost? No, it's just
the buried entry.
That barrier entry and just continuing as well.
Yeah.
It's not just like an upfront cost. If you want to stay competitive, you're dropping dollars. Even if you're like a really good, you need to like get the cards in order to play. So I'm sure certain people are sponsored. They just ask, but the majority of people, it's hard to stay relevant because they're constantly changing what's available or what's...
Well, their online game is tied to actual cards, and you can trade your virtual cards in for real cards, which means your virtual marketplace has to have the same value as your real marketplace.
Right.
So basically, you're playing Magic online, but you're basically buying real cards. So you're spending $4 a pack to get these cards.
And you've always heard the term printing money. This is better than printing money. Yeah. They can make whatever the fuck they want, right? And not have to actually print a real one unless... It's not just like, oh, I have this card, I want a real one, I send it to them, they send me a real card. You have to make a whole set, which is really hard. People make a whole living nonstop. People make livings off of doing this. But...
Getting back to Hex.
Almost.
Okay.
The problem with Magic, besides the cost, is that they are forever tied to a physical card and have to adhere to the laws of physics and all that.
Yeah, when they create the cards and the mechanics, they have to keep in mind that they're real cards, is what you're trying to say.
Yes.
Right?
for example, just throw this out here. It was a big, big thing in Magic that you could flip a card over and it would have something on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like that was hard because they all have these like backs on them. And that, now, mind you, you can go to a game like Hex and you can flip a card three times and have three faces mm-hmm. or six faces. Like who cares? It could be a random face.
And remember so, split cards in Magic?
Yeah, that was, those were cool.
Which are cool, but they could have had to be very precise on them because there was so little space on those cards.
Yeah. And so Hex, what Hex did basically, it's not, there's no secrets here. They stole everything, or inspired by, some might say. It's Magic. It's 100% Magic. All the rules, all the...
Yeah.
All of
five
every single
colors,
way.
20 life.
I never flew through a tutorial so quickly yeah. in my whole life. It was like,
I was kept waiting to see what was going to be different.
And nothing like, was.
Yeah. Right? It just kept being Magic.
The only difference is the way that the lands work. I would have preferred that they went to the Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. No lands at all. But you know, maybe, you know, still in beta. But, yeah, if they would have went with the Hearthstone's lands, I think maybe you would have had the one of maybe a perfect game or I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because one of the drawbacks of Magic, one of the major drawbacks of Magic is being mana flooded or mana screwed. Like you either don't have enough mana to play or you have too much mana. And this game, it has that same thing occur. But they could get around that by using their, you know, since they're not shuffling an actual deck, yeah. they could put logic in their deck shuffler to make sure people just don't get screwed like that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. So let's get into the game. Did you enjoy it?
Well, the game's called Hex, but there's also there's other games called Hex. This one's got a kind of a colon.
TCG.
If you followed yeah. our last game, can you look it up, Bobby, real quick, what Hex is? I think it's Shadow of Armor and Shadow of... What was it? Spirit of Naya? I don't know. Anyways, so...
Well, TCG means trade.
Shards of Fate. Right? Hex, Shards of Fate.
Okay.
It's in closed beta right now, but if you sign up, they basically just get you into the beta. So I think it's still listed as closed beta, but it's
pretty much open.
Pretty much open. This is a game that is made by the people that did the original World of Warcraft TCG, and they did this through Kickstarter and was able to get almost $3 million in Kickstarter funds. So it has a serious backing. The economy is already open. They do a two currency system similar to a MOBA where you've got a paid platinum or you've got an earned gold and you can buy pretty much everything with both as long as people put it up on the auction house. Cause this is all player driven, their economy.
And they have a community over there. It's don't get it twisted. Like
yeah.
definitely some people are playing this game. I think it's probably a lot of people that are fed up with Magic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I would be playing this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, there's just some balancing issues. I think the card power is not balanced yet. You can get cards that get very strong very quickly. And since you're tied to the 20 health system that Magic has, sometimes by turn 5, you feel like you're already dead. Like you have no plays left. So I think there's, whereas Magic tends to draw it out and it, Magic has reasons why you don't want to attack and it's stalemate. This game has the other problem. Where it seems like, for example, one mechanic that Red uses is Rage. And Rage says when you attack it, you get plus attack of whatever the Rage number is. So Rage 1 would give you plus 1 attack. It doesn't go away when that turn ends. That character just always has plus 1. And the next time he attacks, he's getting another plus 1. Mm-hmm. So if you can drop a 1-1 Rage 1 on first turn, by turn 3, he's a 3-1, which is a big creature for turn, you know, like... That's a big advantage. So I just thought there's some balancing issues there, but on the whole, I thought
there's a lot less removal.
Yeah, I feel there like is too. There is definitely.
We're getting into some technical terms here, but I like it for two reasons. Actually, I like it a lot, but I like everything, right?
that's true.
But here's two reasons. Again, it's Magic, not Hearthstone. It's Magic, not bound by the laws of real cards, which they take advantage of. You're doing all kinds of different things. And you're affecting the deck that hasn't been drawn yet. Mm-hmm. You're doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Cost amounts. They play around with cost amounts. Yeah. Cards cost cheaper or more expensive, and they can do it dynamically.
Yep. It's pretty cool. And random. Like, every time you have to do something random in Magic, like,
yeah, you're flipping a coin or you're...
Yeah, the guy would shuffle his deck, and then you would pick one. It was super weird. The randomness, you know, that's pretty cool. I like that a lot. And here's the thing. You can farm gold anytime you want.
Yeah.
There's a PvE system where you just take your best deck and you do the best you can against these fake bosses, I guess. And you progress and you get bonuses if you get win streaks. Did you get one?
Yeah. Win streaks, and they have bosses that reward better loot and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you get this loot. And oh, and there's a whole MMO aspect. We got to get into this. There's a whole MMO aspect where your character is outside of the game. Not only are you building your deck, but you're also getting equipment for your character.
The equivalent would be the hero in Hearthstone.
Right.
But the hero in Hearthstone, you could also put items on.
Really?
No. In this game, your hero can put items on.
But don't think that it's like pay to win or anything, because these things are very tiny, like the advantages, and it's super specific. Like, I could put a bracer on that makes this one card better. It would be like 5% better. I'm sure there's like epic items out there, but I haven't seen anything game breaking or anything like that. I think it's an interesting
idea. It's just more ways to diversify your deck and more ways to push farming, because this game wants you to be on there every day, doing stuff every day and building up that economy. And without these things, all you would be buying was cards. And so there's all these other things that you can now buy and earn and do. You can level up your guy and do other things like that. So they want you to be on here a lot and do everything, you know, play it every day.
And I met the CEO and the owner, Corey, and I was talking to him, and he was saying how in the future they want to have raids. So say me, Chad, and Bobby got together to go beat a big boss. I think that would be fun.
Mm-hmm,
we'd all just rock our best decks, or maybe get in the lab and put a deck together specifically for this thing. That sounds fucking sweet.
Yeah, and a lot of the cards are designed with multiplayer in mind. Like, they'll say each opponent discards a card. So they've already got in mind that.
But when you say multiplayer, are you talking about versus or also co-op?
Versus is already in, but we're talking 2v2 maybe, or we're talking 3 versus NPC. Yeah. Like, you can do a lot of things like that.
Yeah, imagine kind of like a text-based RPG that you can play with your friends, but you're playing with a deck of cards. That's the way that I see it.
Yeah.
It's almost like D&D with a deck of cards.
Agreed.
Yeah, is what they're going for.
So my big plus for Hex Shards of Fate is my absolute favorite part of Magic is drafting. And if you've never drafted before in Magic, I highly recommend it. However, it is $15 to draft in Magic. You've got to buy 3 packs, and you've got to submit some tickets, and then you draft your cards, and you get to keep those cards. But there's a whole game around this drafting, and it is so much fun. This game, since they're not tied to the $4 pack system, their packs sell for basically $2, and then players will sell it for even cheaper. We were getting in the packs for about $1.50 to $1.75.
Yeah, you can draft for like...
So you can draft for like...
$5, $6.
$5 or $6.
Yeah.
That is a huge boon to guys that like to draft, because, you can spend hundreds of dollars in Magic drafts really quick.
We have,
yeah. So if you are into that at all, I would highly suggest you give Hex a try.
And, now, Bobby, did you play it?
No. I signed up for the beta. I have not played it.
Fucking son of a bitch.
Well, you can tell us about it next week.
Okay.
So,
I haven't played a card game in a very long time.
Yeah, I really wanted a perspective from somebody who hasn't played Magic.
Yeah.
Actually. So, because it was so easy for me and Chad to pick it up. I mean, it was
down to the same colors.
Yeah, it's the same colors, really. Representing rather the same things.
Yeah.
How many cars
the windows were in the same, like when we're doing our draft, the windows were in the same
place. It's very familiar.
It's very familiar.
How difficult do you think this game would be to pick up? Because Hearthstone, I recently started playing that again, and that was so easy to get back into. And even for someone who's never played any trading card game, like that's just an easy game. It's very accessible.
Yes. Magic's 4 or 5 times more difficult than...
Yeah, I would say even more than that. Yeah. The thing about Magic that I think is the biggest change from Hearthstone and cards like Yu-Gi-Oh! And stuff like that, it is one person's turn, and then they do their things, and the other person can have secrets or trap cards in other games. They can do those as a reactive thing, but they can't play anything on your turn. It's your turn, you do what you want, and then it's the other person's turn. Magic is not like that. It's got a stack system where one person plays a card, the other person can put this in as an interrupt, and then there's a whole like which order do the cards resolve in. So it's very much a mind game in Magic, much more than Hearthstone. There's no such concept as lethal on board when it comes to Magic because you don't know what the other person's going to be able to do.
Hmm.
So it's a very it's a much more cerebral game. Like, Hearthstone is very fast pick up and play. This game, most games, if you're doing a 3-game match, the timer is an hour to get through a 3-game match.
This game is not turn based.
It is.
It is turn based, but.
But every action has a stack, which means somebody else can play another action on top of your action if you have the cards.
Some spells can be played anytime. Pretty much any time.
Well, the Instant Star Wars actions. Game that I was really into when I was a kid, it was kind of like that. I mean, each person had their own turn, but you had cards called interrupts.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's interrupts. There's quick. There's a bunch of stuff. Anyway, let's one more thing. Why I fell in love with Magic originally. Then this will maybe elaborate. I was playing against this guy who made a deck that specialized in putting things back in my hand. Over and over and over. So I couldn't keep any of my stuff out. And then he was making me discard. So he would put something in my hand and then I would have to discard it. So he targeted my creature. And this card that he had, he could pay an additional cost and get it back. He could play it every turn. It was called buyback. So he targeted my creature. And then I didn't have much. I played something very quickly and killed my own creature in response. So there was no target for the spell to hit. And that made his card fizzle, which means he can't buy it back because it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of level of stuff we're talking about here. Like, and then I was like, not only did I outsmart him, but I just fell in love with this game because I outsmarted him.
Sometimes the best play is to hurt your own
character. There's all kinds of stuff. Hmm. Infinite possibilities.
And one of the biggest draws that I had in games like this is, although you can't do this with Hex yet, Magic had a lot of ways that you could play decks that didn't involve any creatures. You could win without playing a single creature. And the idea, that concept has always like intrigued me. Like, not only can you make all sorts of different kinds of decks, there's all bunch of win conditions that you can set yourself around to try to accomplish it in different ways. And so the complexity.
Hearthstone just really did that. I just started to get into that. Not creatureless decks, but decking decks.
Yeah.
That's a new thing for them, which means makes the opponent draw all their cards.
Yep.
God damn it. We got super nerdiness now. That's the first time we've ever sounded like we know what we're talking about since we started this fucking thing.
Sorry. We'll try not to do that again.
Well, they're running this off the Hex Shards of Fate. They're running this off of the Unity engine, which is the same engine that Hearthstone uses.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a very popular engine. It's almost, it's been associated with a lot of bad games and gotten kind of a reputation from that, but it's not a bad engine and it works perfectly well for this.
No. I should mention this. There is no bugs. It plays very smoothly. Did you have one issue?
I don't think I did. No.
So that's a lot to say for a beta.
Yeah. And it doesn't have a whole lot of, the graphics are not like stellar, but the art on the cards are very nice.
Yeah.
But it's very basic. Like you don't have the creatures popping out of the card or anything like that. It's very like simple on the scheme and
it looks good.
But
it looks better than Magic.
Yeah, it looks clean. Yeah, for sure.
It's interesting to note, I was thinking of this before I read it here on the Wikipedia page, but Wizards of the Coast filed a lawsuit against them a year ago.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And is it still in the...
It doesn't say.
No, dude, you don't tap the card. You exhaust the card.
Yeah. And so. It's not mana. It's shards.
Sure.
Yeah, I think
shard power.
Just renamed everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else did we play? Bobby, about you?
Like I said, I've been playing some Hearthstone, getting a little bit back into that. Really not playing it to its full extent, though. I just play the Paladin. Anytime I'm given the option, I always play a Paladin. It's my favorite class in anything. Or I'll take a Knight, you know, something similar to a Paladin. But I swear, all I'm playing against are Mage decks.
Yep.
It seems to be really popular. I've been playing a little bit of the Arena. Every now and then I'll do that Arena. 3-0 on the Arena so far. But they've added so much to that with the Gnomes and Goblins and the single-player content, which I'm saving up for. I'm not going to spend actual money on it, but I'll unlock next Rammus. I beat the first part of it, but the next one I think it's like 700 gems or so. But that's a fun game. And like I said earlier, I was surprised at how easily I picked it back up. Like, I was kind of cautious about getting back into it because I was just like, I'm not going to know what the hell I'm doing it. I'm sure so much has changed.
And a kid could play Hearthstone.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
And they do. I see people all the time on their phones and laptops playing this game. It's so popular. It seems like the bot problem is better. I haven't ran into a single bot. You know what I think they should do? A little suggestion. They should...
Listen up, Blizzard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know you're out there.
We know you're listening.
I don't know if you guys ever played chess before, but when you play chess, like, competitively or professionally or seriously, I should say, you have a timer.
We're not nerds. Come on.
You have a timer, and you have, like, I don't know, a certain amount of time to play, and you tap the timer, and then it's the other person's turn, and they tap the timer. So you have an overall time. So the quicker you make your moves, the more time you have later. So it's kind of a decision that you have to make. Do I spend time thinking about a good play here and maneuvering my pieces, or do I just make a quick play and leave myself more time? And if you know, someone's time runs out on them, then you could lose that way. I think they need to do that with Hearthstone, man, because I'm getting tired of people taking forever. Like, it's on the first turn, you have one mana point or gem or whatever you can spend. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have that many options. Yeah. How could it possibly take you that long?
And Hex and Magic both do it that way.
They do? They have timers?
No, they have... you have an alt... You have a...
A chess timer.
A chess timer. They give you 25, 30 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And it's just, that's your timer.
Yeah. And so, well, I mean, Hearthstone has that thing that comes out and says, you know, you only have this amount of time left, but it doesn't... Like, they should have something where if that happens, like, more than once...
You get penalized if it keeps occurring.
If you run out of time once, then you have half as much time next
time. But if you do any movement in between that, it won't do that.
Oh, I see.
So, I get to what you kind of like, you warn the first time, and then the second time you start invoking a penalty, because it's 30 seconds each time.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, the first time it happens, then your timer just changes to 25 seconds or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's a very small complaint, but, you know, it is just frustrating when you're sitting there waiting for someone to make, you know, take their turn, and like, they really don't have any other options, or it should be obvious what they need to do. I don't know. I feel like I'm playing stupid people.
Has anybody played anything with titties or dicks or something? I feel like I've been looking for a joke for like 3 weeks in a row, and like there hasn't been an opening. Like nobody's, there's been nothing, or I've just been missing them. I'm waiting. I'm like, somebody's going to say something that I could just say something.
We can start playing Rust again.
Jeez. That's going to come up later.
I'll get our man cocks out if you want. So are we done with your stuff?
Yeah, we're done with Hearthstone.
And you've been also playing Heroes of the Storm pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing a lot of that. I've been, I bought a Stim Pack, so I've been trying to get my money out of that.
How do Stim Packs work in this one?
You can buy it for a week or a month. It makes sense to buy it for a month. It's $3.99 for a week or $9.99 for a month. And it gives you 150% more gold. So, like on a win, if you win a game, you'd get 50 gold. With a Stim Pack, you'd get 75 gold. Your XP almost double, so.
And the XP is where you earn a lot of that extra gold from, too. Right?
Your XP...
Because when you hit level 10,
levels up characters faster, and when you level up characters, that can also get you gold, and it can unlock portraits, it can unlock abilities at the lower levels. It can unlock skin colors. So, yeah, it's kind of helpful. $4 for the first impact, or for a week, and $10 for a month.
The thing that I don't
I'll give you $4 to stimulate my pack. There we go.
That's a stretch. You worked it in.
It was a stretch, but yeah, hey. It was.
I feel like Hearthstone, they're not trying to rip you off, and I feel like Heroes of the Storm, they are. Like, seriously, $40 for the beginner pack on that game?
It's really not a bad deal, but here's the problem with that, is that a lot of people have already bought characters. They have people that are in the pack, and while League of Legends will refund you that gold for the characters you already own, or adjust the price based on what you already own out of the pack, Heroes of the Storm does not do that, and they only offer, like, three packs. And they have the Nexus bundle and the Starter bundle, and then they'll have some random bundle, usually a character and a few skins for them, whatever the newest one is. But they really don't rotate the packs that much, and they have sales every week, but it's on one character and two skins. Like, it's just not a big marketplace. It's like they're trying to keep people from spending money. I mean, if they had more bundles, more customized bundles, or let you build your own bundles, or at least refunded you a little bit of money, because I was going to buy that $40 pack. I was like, fuck it, man, I'm invested in this game. But I already own two of the characters, and even that alone was just like, nope, not worth
it. There's no incentive.
Yeah. So,
and Chad, you spent the $40 and you mm-hmm. regret it, right?
No, I don't. Not at all.
Really? Because every time we play, you're like, I don't have that guy or whatever. Like, well, I feel like...
My thing is, like, the characters should be earnable. And that's the thing about MOBAs. MOBA is only good if your character lineup is good. And it takes so much fucking gold to earn a character that, like, I haven't earned one character. All the games that I've played, all the characters that I have available are all the characters I bought. Like, I haven't earned
you don't
one.
Play that much, though.
I bought enough
to have earned a character in any other MOBA.
Well, I've turned one. I've earned one, and I only play, like, six games.
Really?
Can be done, and they're making
the first
it easier.
The first one you can get, or whatever.
Oh, like cheap?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Huh. Are you sure?
Tell me if I'm wrong here. My big problem with this game is that if you queue as two or queue as three, that other guy's going to be a wild card. Like, there's no strategy as a build.
Yeah.
Right?
You pick your character first. You can't go in and talk as five on what characters you want to go. You mm-hmm. kind of just get
as
thrown.
As you can in Smite.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and strategize a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have your assholes, but people would rather win than play the class that they want.
I don't know.
A lot of people.
Yeah, that is unusual. And I don't know exactly. I think they do that because they don't want... they see it from a different perspective. If I want to play one character, I want to play Sergeant Hammer because I'm trying to level them up, and that's all I want to do is just play Sergeant Hammer, then I pick Sergeant Hammer, and I'm guaranteed that character when I go in. I don't have to negotiate for position or for character when I queue up. So it does have its advantages, but yeah. I mean, you really can't expect too much when you're playing regulars. When you get into hero mode, you can pick characters, but they don't allow you to... in the ranked mode, they don't allow you to switch characters once they're picked. So who's ever got first pick, like, they could waste it on, you know, some low tier character that they really want to play. Mm-hmm. They can't get a top tier character, then trade it to someone else who wants it. I don't know if they do that in professional play. Like, we'll see when BlizzCon comes up. I'm going to be watching that intently, but I don't know.
Intently.
Yeah. Yes. But, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm having a good time with the game. I think
it's fun, for sure.
It's definitely fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about Heroes of the Storm, though.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into what I've been playing. So, big shout-out to Clown Lotion. He saw that... I believe it's called The Guide to Dungeoneering.
No. It's The Guild of Dungeoneering.
The Guild of Dungeoneering. Yeah, sorry. You are correct. The Guild of Dungeoneering. He saw I had added it to my wish list. And I don't know if he had an extra copy or what, but he gifted it over to me. So thank you very much, Clown Lotion.
Yeah, I played it at E3 and I was pretty confused.
Shout out to you.
Clown Lotion is one of our biggest contributors.
Yeah.
Keep it up, buddy.
Yeah. It's a cutesy style game. Like, the art is all hand drawn, which is really cool.
Unlike, like school paper, right? Like
almost. Yeah. It's almost
graph
like,
paper.
It's almost like on graph paper. Yeah. But the basic concept is you're running this guild and you're trying to make this guild as strong as possible, but you're not actually doing any work. You're getting people to come into your guild and sending them out on missions. So the way it works is you send these guys out on missions and you can build your guild up and get different classes and stuff like that. But you get one guy and you put him in a dungeon.
But you play as him.
You sort of play as him. And I'll explain why. So you get in this dungeon, and the dungeon just has a beginning and an end and maybe some midpoints that are also important. And you basically have to make the dungeon. And the way you make it is you get these series of random cards, and a card will either be a loot item, or it will be an enemy, which can be a level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or it can be a tile piece. But the tile piece has to match up to where your entrances are on the board. So you won't always necessarily be able to just do a straight line to the next thing you need to go to. So you're kind of making your dungeon as you're going along and putting enemies in. And you want to put enemies in because you need to level your guy up to get the gear that he needs to be able to get to the end boss and beat the end boss or whatever you need to do to win. So you're kind of balancing that all out. And you don't want to put a level 3 guy right at the beginning because your guy's only level 1 when he first walks into a dungeon. So you want to try to start him off slow, get some items, hopefully get some treasure to level it up, and hopefully complete the dungeon and come out with gold that you can then level up your guild for.
And get more powerful heroes.
Exactly. Or more powerful things for your heroes. And the combat's kind of interesting, too.
Is it black and white? Almost black and white, right?
It's kind of black and white, but it's got color in there, too. Red and blue, okay. Primarily, and some gold and stuff. The combat's kind of interesting. You basically get a deck.
This is a deck. Separate from...
A different deck. And you draw 3 cards, and those are the 3 options you have to play. And there's physical attacks, there's magical attacks, there's physical blocking, magical blocking, there's quick attacks, there's ways to draw extra cards. So you're kind of balancing this all out. But then the items you get can give you extra cards. So maybe you get an item that has a lot of health, but gives you 2 bad cards. So it's like a drawback. So, or you get a weapon and it gives you a card that gives you a lot of attack if you draw that card. So it's kind of an interesting play. I enjoyed this game. It's still in early access. I had a lot of fun playing it, but it did get repetitive rather quickly. So I'm hoping that they're going to add some stuff, maybe leveling up your character, doing some other stuff there. But it was a lot of fun. I spent 4 or 5 hours playing this and had some fun. I'm going to keep playing it some more. But I'm hoping as the alpha progresses, they're going to put some stuff in to diversify things. But yeah, overall, I've had a good time with it. I think it's $15 right now on Steam, and I recommend it right now.
Cool.
Any questions? Does anybody want to know anything else about it?
Well, I played it, so I know exactly.
What were your thoughts?
I was confused because there was no explanation, right? There was nothing.
Oh, and the music. No tutorial. The music is cool.
I had no music or sound.
What?
I was playing at E3. It was like,
oh.
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
So basically every time something happens, there's a bard basically that's singing songs to you that's kind of explaining what's going on. So the music is...
Oh, that's interesting.
You kind of have a bard that's going along with you, kind of singing these funny little songs that's telling you what's going on.
Might be a good time for an uppercut.
Yeah. Or something like that. Well, it's more like he talks about how you're making this guild, but you don't want to do any work and all this stuff. So it's fun.
Kind of the same thing in Deponia. They have this guy that sings songs. It's usually during cut scenes. Well, actually, in Deponia, it's kind of like a mess. Like, he's usually just singing about gibberish, but he kind of narrates the story a little bit.
Witcher 3 has that as well. Every time you load back into the game, during the load screens, he catches you up on the story, kind of like... Yeah, I think it's really nice. It has its own animation. Not animation. Hand-drawn art.
Yeah.
I think it's just really nice. But I don't play it every day. If I played it every day, it could be repetitive.
But it's your load screen, right?
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, Bobby, you played Oregon Trail, right?
Yeah.
Did you play it more than once? No, Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon Trail.
Okay. Not Oregon. Oregon.
I know.
Okay. I know it was out for years.
No, I played that. Yeah, I played that a long time ago. I remember that one. Yeah, it's like Oregon Trail, but with zombies.
Yeah, and let's bring people up to date, I guess. not everybody's playing Oregon Trail. Like, we would like to think so.
Depends on how old you are. If you're as old as us, you played Oregon Trail.
Yeah. If you're not, which most people aren't, because most people don't survive because they're not as cool as us.
That's well, that true. Was a game that you could play in you school can, because it was educational. Yeah. So, like, everybody, you know, had, like, an Apple II with a 5 1/4 inch floppy and...
And you'd try to come up with reasons to play Oregon Trail.
It was like resource management and math was in there and stuff like that. It was a good game.
History and
it was a good game for this time. So anyway, this is a zombie take on that. Very basic graphics. Super great. I mean.
About the same as Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the same. But there's more here than I remember in Oregon Trail. There's combat and I don't know.
Yeah,
I want to build it up or knock it down too much.
They have more different. They extrapolate more on the hunting because in the original Oregon Trail you could hunt, you could shoot bears, squirrels, whatever, and get meat. But in this one, they have a few other. You can do
there
that,
are
but
missions,
there's,
right?
Yeah, there's like missions like you have to defend people or you have to escort or.
Yeah, I saw you try to. You had to reach a crate.
Oh, reach crates. Yeah. Once I got a perk for 5% faster. Mm-hmm. I just ran past all the zombies. It was fucking cake. All the escort missions. But anyway. Let me quickly run. I played one game. I will probably not play another game. It's not a bad game. What does it go for? Anybody has any idea?
Mm-mm.
I just played it off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a couple bucks, I want to say.
It's probably worth that.
Yeah.
So my team was comprised of Bobby, Chad, Emilio, Ender, which is like, and then DL Gaming. So quickly, I'm just going to go by what happened. Chad ruined 32 ammo by dicking around with it.
Yep.
That's exactly how it said. Bobby got typhoid, like right away. I didn't know that you could cure diseases by resting, by the way, at this point. So,
Bobby just is walking along with typhoid, huh?
Chad ruins $8 by dicking around with it.
I love dicking around. I love it.
Bob broke an arm. Bob is incapacitated. I chose to kill Bobby. He was eating too much, and he wasn't providing.
He was not contributing.
Yeah, he wasn't contributing shit. Emilio was killed by a bandit. And that was a really tricky one, because it was kind of like a hostage situation where the bandit had the guy. Imagine 5 pixels fighting 10 pixels. That's what's going on. And you got to aim your 1 pixel shot to hit that.
So you shot...
I was shot wrong. Yeah, I shot Emilio.
So the bandit didn't kill Emilio.
Right.
Okay.
So,
was that in Speed where he said, he gives him that predicament and he's like, shoot the hostage, take him out of the equation.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's how it went down.
Yeah, that's how it went down.
Except he shot him in the face. I don't think that happened in Speed.
The aiming in that game is wacky on purpose. Like it's gotta bring some difficulty at some point. But I feel like if you played the game a lot, you get really good at it, and then just stomp the
just
whole
like
game.
Oregon
I think
Trail.
It's on mobile too, and I think it'd be easier on that.
Oh yeah, because you just touchpad, right?
Yeah.
So after Emilio got killed by a bandit, DL Gaming gets dysentery.
That's the worst.
Chad broke a rib and then an arm. That was like right after. It was like he broke a rib. We drove like 2 feet and then he broke his arm. Probably rubbing his stupid ass rib.
Probably dicking around.
Yeah.
What difficulty were you playing this on?
A regular.
Okay.
Yeah. DL Gaming sat on 20 ammo and ruined it. Now, at this point in the game, we're running low on everything and the car is about to break down.
Yeah.
Then right after that, DL Gaming ruins 20 food by dicking around with it, and then we all starve to death. That was the end of my day.
Wait, you tried?
Tragic.
You tried to shoot me. Remember, you killed me.
Oh, I killed everybody
to see if we could eat each other for the
food. Oh yeah, for the food. Chad came in. He's like, yeah, go ahead and shoot him. See if
I said shoot someone, and you picked me.
Yeah.
Oregon Trail. And in that game, you're in a station wagon. It looks like a National Lampoon's movie or something.
It's not a bad game.
No, it's pretty good. I remember I played that several years ago. It was during that time of year at work where everything's winding down and like occasionally I don't have anything to do. So it was one of those little games that I could like throw a few minutes away on here and there. And I beat it on regular. I remember it being a lot easier than I remember the original Oregon Trail. And then I replayed it on hard and it was much, much more difficult.
I'm wondering if people that have never played Oregon Trail would have any interest at all in this, because I think half of the fun of Oregon Trail is likening it or seeing the similarities between the original and this one?
I think so, because the original Oregon Trail actually was a really good game. I mean, that was...
When you played Oregon Trail, did you have the isometric top-down shooting game? Because there's a version I played also where you just had the crosshairs in front of you, and it was almost first person, and things would jump across.
I think there was an Oregon Trail, too. Maybe that was it.
Maybe it was.
Yeah. I don't think I played that one.
All right. What else did we play? Oh, Amelia played some Lisa, which I watched him play a little bit. You want to go into Lisa?
Yeah, sure. Super weird. Very, very weird.
It's gotten really good rating on Steam.
It's not bad at all. So it's 8-bit graphics.
Like everything else.
Yeah, very interesting storytelling and sounds. So this game is a lot like a mix between like Super Mario 2 and
Mad Max.
And like Final Fantasy series. It's like a mix between those two. So you have a character that goes around this 2D world in a very Super Mario 2. Like there's doors that you can climb up to. And so you have that going on. But then it's very much like the combat is all Final Fantasy VII, mm-hmm. like turn-based
RPG.
Turn-based RPG, you know. So the encounters a lot of the times are random. And then, so let's say your main character, I forget his name. You select him, and then there's a list of things that you can do. In case you don't know exactly what I'm talking about, you could use an item, you could choose to defend, or you could choose to attack. And then you choose which of the enemy party you're going to do that to. That kind of turn-based system. Not like XCOM. This is more, might as well be text-based with some visual cues.
Yep.
So, that used to be my number one favorite way to play games.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy series I'm a nut for. So I really like that portion of it. The storytelling is very dark and very well done. For what little bit that 8-bit can do, they're pushing that so far with the music, the sounds. People don't really talk. It's all text-based, but they'll do a sound with the text that comes out. So like, but the sounds go so well with the emotion that they're trying to convey that he does an exceptional job of doing that. I was really, really impressed by that. You guys know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we talked a lot about that last week, pseudo dialogue, where they just kind of make mumble. Gibberish.
Yeah.
It's gibberish.
It's
kind of like Wally.
It's done perfectly here. Again, it's really weird. There's a lot of, I think there's some Fist of the North Star in there.
Yeah.
Like he's wearing a poncho. He's got a beard. And, you know, it's a wasteland.
Frank? Was his name Frank?
I don't remember. It's all about Lisa, and Lisa's a girl, and she's the only girl. So everybody's fighting over her. And not only is she the hope for all mankind now, she's also tearing them apart because now there's something to fight about.
Mm.
So
typical girl.
Yeah. But it pokes fun at itself a lot. It pokes fun at a lot of things. Very clever. I'm very impressed with this game. I think I will continue to play it. I hope it's unlike a Final Fantasy game in that it's not 80 hours. But so far, I'm having a really good time with it. Take a look at it. Maybe even watch some video before you buy it, because this might not be your cup of tea, but it is rated overwhelmingly positive. I'm just impressed with how it's kind of like I got into a shitty little car and it's going 300 miles an hour. You know what I mean? I'm like, whoa.
And the wheel falls off.
This ugly ass thing. No, and it's handling great and it's going super fast. I didn't see that coming. That kind of thing. So, yeah.
I was having fun watching you play it for a little bit, even though the graphics look like poop on a stick.
Yeah. So I got into the gigantic beta. There's an NDA right now, so I can't really talk about it. But I like it. I'll just go with that. And so I had the Evo. Was I can't read that.
Skyforge.
Who's that, Bobby?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, look at that.
All right, Bobby.
He's just going to say he downloaded it.
It's an MMO. So what you been playing? Literally, I don't know what to say about this game. Skyforge is by Obsidian Entertainment. It's the new MMO. The beta.
How new is this?
The beta opened up to everybody on the 16th. You could have gotten it if you paid. If you were a founder, you could have gotten into it, like, I don't know, 5 days earlier. But it's, I don't know. MMOs, I realized, are like, they're all the same. They're just packaged differently. It's the same stuff, just maybe rearranged. I mean, everything from any MMO you've ever played is in this game. I've only played, I don't know, 5 hours of this game. Really interesting. You only have three classes that you can pick from, tank, healer, and damage class. And then as you level up and progress, you don't really level up. You get prestige, and you don't even get prestige by getting experience. They don't have an experience-based system. Maybe they do. It's like a talent tree that you unlock as you go on. I don't know if it's just by following these quests or how exactly that works, but
free to play.
Yeah, it's free to play. I don't think they're going to charge for the game or a subscription. I think it's just completely open. You can get a premium account, and there's benefits to that.
So maybe you unlock your talent trees by progressing through the story? Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I can tell, yeah. There may be something I'm missing here.
That's interesting, though.
I literally skipped every piece of dialogue and every tutorial in this.
As one does.
This does not sound like you, Bobby.
He was wondering why he wasn't playing Heroes of Storm the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have
been. And I'm a little disappointed you didn't ask me to play this with you, as I am an MMO.
I thought you guys knew. We talked about this last week.
No, you said, are you guys playing Skyforge? And that was the end of the discussion. That's the only thing that happened.
Well, I texted that today, but I'm pretty sure Skyforge came up before.
I've never heard of this game.
Nope.
That's weird. I thought this was something we were all talking about.
He was tripping.
We don't all talk about anything anymore.
He was tripping balls on acid last time. He told the pink elephant that he was going to play Skyforge.
This game's got a really weird mix of stuff, though, because my character right now is just in a suit, and he's running around with a shield and a giant sword. It's very weird.
Like a three-piece suit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, like business casual, but he's...
That'll protect you from most monsters.
Yeah. But the graphics are all right. I mean, they aren't anything spectacular, but for an MMO, you don't really expect... You don't expect anything too great as far as graphics. But, yeah, it looks fine. It's kind of a futuristic deal, but I really don't even know what to say. It's
free to play?
You already asked that.
Just, yeah.
Damn it. That's how little interest I have in it.
I kind of want to pick this up and play, so maybe I'll play some this weekend.
All right. Well, I think you can switch classes, too.
Like hats, similar to Final Fantasy?
Yeah. You just switch classes instantaneously.
Or Trove.
Yeah, and I heard on Trove they gave out free... gems because of some server issue.
That was kind of funny. So I get this email. Hey, we fucked up. Here's some stuff. Sign in, and all you have to do is sign in within the next 24 hours.
Yeah, and you came home and said, hey, we got to sign in.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to play something else.
No. I tried to sign in. Later on that night, I tried to sign in. Can't sign in.
Server issues.
Server issues, yeah. So it's...
probably made the problems
sorry
worse.
We were closed. Everything's going to be free today. Oh, sorry, we're closed.
Yeah, sorry, we're closed.
Well, I mean, sending out that email probably made everybody log on.
Yeah,
made
seriously.
Yeah.
But one more thing on Skyforge. The combat is not your typical tab-based targeting system where you press 1 through 9 to cast certain abilities with global cooldowns or specific cooldowns to that ability like Warcraft or many other MMOs. It's combat-based. It's like guns or what's that?
Action RPG.
Yeah, it's like an action RPG.
So guns.
Z with a Z. So you left-click, you right-click, you can left-click, right-click, you can left-click, right-click, left-click. There's all these combinations.
Can you go over that again?
Yeah. Combination of left-clicks, right-clicks, also C, Z. And you unlock these different attacks throughout the thing. And each of them does something a little different. Maybe one's like... area damage. So instead of, on World of Warcraft, say you got a paladin, you do consecration, which is like area damage, but does very little. So that's just bound to one button. You put that on your four key or something. In this game, it's like if you want to do that, you have to left click, right click. If you want to do like a combo, like chain of, this is for the character that I'm playing, the Paladin, who's like the tank class. You have to left click, like three left clicks, and then a right click does like a chain combo. So there's also a dodge key. So it's a little more, you got to be a little more on your toes. But I don't know if I like it quite as much. It kind of takes away a little bit of the RPG feel to it and makes it seem a little bit more like these games that I just can't seem to get on board with, like guns. And what was the one you guys were playing?
Rise of Incarnates.
Yeah, Rise of Incarnates.
So, Bob, is there a gear in this game?
A gear?
Like, gear. Gears.
Yeah, he's like three-piece suit, shield.
Oh, like you equip to make yourself better.
Very little. There are rings. I can equip four rings. They have something called trophies, which I haven't gotten to yet. You can get like two of those. And then for the Paladin, I have a sword and a shield. And quest just seemed to... I'm still in the point of the game where everything is just very linear. Like, I'm just going from this quest to that quest. There's no, like, multiple quests and, like, here's an area and run around and do this. It's very specific. Like, go here, kill this guy. And they have dungeons and instances which seem to be three people. They seem to put
you
in teams
of three.
Let me guess,
a healer, damage dealer, and a...
It doesn't have to be. No, I mean, when you get to the harder ones. But I don't know. When it comes to MMOs, I'm all about the end game content. That's really, I feel like I've been conditioned by World of Warcraft to expect and to want that. And I don't know, maybe if I had latched onto MMOs later in their life, then things would be different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If World of Warcraft, or actually Warlords of Draenor, was on sale for $30, and I went back, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy it, and let's see what's going on with WoW. I haven't logged in like a year and a half, but the price went back up, so I didn't do it.
So here's my question. You're building a Paladin. Now, when you switch to a healer, your gear switches to healer gear?
I don't know. I haven't done that yet. I don't know if they give you equivalent gear, because there really isn't that much gear. Yeah. And the gear that you get, like the rings I was talking about, they improve things like there's not too many stats. There's valor, luck, which I assume
makes you lucky.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like ambiguous stats that could go to anybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
That makes sense.
I don't know if I'm not far enough into the game to really see like a path I should be going down, or if it's just doesn't even matter.
Do they split? Like, a fighter can become a Paladin that can become a priest.
Why do you ask these advanced questions? You know he's not going to know the answer to
this.
No,
you can actually. You can, when you unlock certain talents, you can unlock like an archer class. So that's how you get these new classes. It's kind of like they did the same thing in
EverQuest 2.
I didn't play that one, but the Star Wars one, the Old Republic. Like, you start out as a Sith warrior, and then you can eventually become, you can choose, like, two paths when you get to that.
Yeah.
When you get
Inquisitor
to a certain stage.
Or
yeah, like Inquisitor or something like that. I can't remember all of them.
I'm just going to mention Broforce really quickly. I'm having a lot of fun with it this week. It's just really quick. It loads up super fast. And the diversity comes in. You don't know which bro you're going to get at any time. Anytime you think about it like Super Mario Brothers, like every time that you get a mushroom that gives you an extra one up, you also transform. So in giving yourself another extra one up, you transform, and it could be a good one or a bad bro for the situation. So you don't know. So it adds replay value a lot. They just had another patch. They called it the patch to fix the patch to fix the patch or something like that. So, I was playing it. I haven't seen a bunch of things since the 4th of July stuff, but they did patch the 4th of July patch. And, but I'm trying to play through it to try to see some stuff. Really, all I've seen so far is every time a boss is introduced, they have the Borderlands, introduction for the boss, that splash page with his name and then like a little tagline. It's inspired, from Borderlands. But yeah, just having a really good time with Broforce. Wish I had a roommate to play with me sometimes.
Yeah. Well, when you get your big screen working up here in the living room, I'll play with you. I don't want to sit on your jizz-stained bed that is my only option right now.
True.
Got to get that Steam Link.
Yeah. Or steam cleaned. Yes. One of the two.
You beat me by 1 second on that one.
All right, let's get into some listener questions, shall we?
All right. Lab Monkey has made a corrections page. We definitely needed this.
For sure. God, this one's going to be riddled with inconsistencies.
This will be extensive. And you know what? I'll probably be contributing to this a lot because a lot of times when I go back and listen to it.
Is he saying we're saying stuff wrong? Because I have never in my entire life been wrong. So it's for you guys, you two guys. Corrections for you guys. Okay.
It's actually labeled corrections for Bobby and Emilio. Okay. Definitely not Chad.
Definitely not Chad.
I thought it was weird when I clicked on it, but it seems to work out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely check that on our Steam group. From Clown Lotion. Wants to know what games we refuse to delete from our hard drive.
Oh, okay.
Who wants to go first?
Right now, I haven't played Smite in probably 2 months. And I keep looking at it, and I can't do it.
I don't even look at it, but it's there. it's like a warm blanket. I could pull over. If it gets too cold, I know that I could just pull it all over myself.
Yeah.
I'm having a real shitty gaming week. Just pull it right over myself.
So that off the top of my head. And also, WoW. In fact, I usually have a subscription to WoW, even though I haven't played it in like 2 or 3 months.
Wait, what do you mean usually? Have you been playing have you been paying these last six months, let's say?
Not 6 months. I bought it. I re-upped it like 3 months ago.
When the expansion came out.
I bought it when the expansion came out and then canceled it. And then like a couple months ago, I re-upped again. Because when Bobby was getting into MMOs, we were playing Guild Wars 2 and all those other ones. And I was like, I got to play WoW. So I re-upped it, played one night, haven't played since.
Been paying since.
That's how they get you.
Yep.
I'll tell you the one game that never leaves my hard drive is Team Fortress 2. Always got that downloaded.
That's 100%.
Yeah. And not only because that game is so much fun, it's really easy and quick to jump in. Into. It's probably my favorite game of all time, but it's a pretty big game. It's like 15 or 20 gigs, I want to say.
Yeah.
So it's not something, even though I have a very fast internet connection, I mean, that's still like a pretty long time to download and install. And also Left 4 Dead 2 is probably on there as well, although you need people to play that with, and not a lot of people want to play that one, but never delete that.
Did Clown Lotion say what he...
Yeah, he had some things, but I didn't write it down. Yeah, TF2 is interesting because it's like, wow, there's five of us on Skype right now. What do we all have? Yeah. And you can always guarantee everybody has that game. Almost always. So it's really nice. For me, Skyrim, because you never know what mod is coming. And I have a specific thing right now. Skyblivion just came out, which is a completely redone version. I think it just came out of Oblivion. On Skyrim graphics, and I never played Oblivion, and I always wanted to, but I never had the computer that could run it at the time. So this is great for me. As far as I understand, it's a shot-for-shot remake of Oblivion in Skyrim graphics, so that's great. I want to check that out. So Skyrim never leaves. Binding of Isaac is so small that you could just have it there always. And like the other night, God damn, I feel like a fucking alcoholic. I was so drunk I couldn't lay down. Okay? Okay? Stop judging. Because everything was spinning. So I just played Binding of Isaac.
I haven't had the spins in so long.
I played Binding of Isaac till
you're not drinking enough.
The spins and the ghosts went away. And the voices.
It's just me whispering in here.
Now that's kind of being replaced by Broforce. But both of those are tiny little games. So why would I ever delete them? But there's these things that linger. There's a Darkest Dungeon. It's there, but so is my belt that I could whip myself with. You know, like, I'm not going to do either one of those. Dungeon of the Endless. I'm convinced that it's a good game, and I'm the idiot, but I can't figure it out, and Jack couldn't figure it out either. If you know how to play this game, please let us know. I couldn't get past the second level.
And I couldn't get past the first.
And I got to the second level and then played the first again. Couldn't beat it again.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out how to beat the first level again.
Yeah.
But
you still have that installed on your PC?
Yeah, that's still installed. That. And I'm sure there's some TF2, of course. I'm sure there's something else. There's some, the turn-based RPG that and the sequel had Dragon in it.
Shadowrun?
Shadowrun, yes. I want to get back into that so bad, but I know it's very time-consuming. I got a bunch of stuff that I can't.
The thing about Shadowrun, though, like, that's a fun game, but there's just so much dialogue, and it does that thing where it just types it out on the screen.
It's like a book, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, it wears on you. I pulled up the link here, and I'm checking out what Clown Lotion had written down. Dark Souls, Transistor, Hotline Miami, Homeworld, and One Finger Death Punch, the ones that he mentioned. If you like One Finger Death Punch, I would definitely recommend Kung Fury. It's a little game that they made to go along with the YouTube video that they put out back in May. But it's the exact same thing as One Finger Death Punch, but a simpler version. And it's got
zero fingers?
No, it's two fingers.
You just actually watch it?
No, it's the two mouse buttons to right and left, but the enemies just come at you. There's no weapons. There's no combos or anything like that. But it is really, really fun. It almost is even more fun because it's so basic. And they got a high score screen, and everyone on your friends list is on there. And there's this one guy who's like way up there, and I tried for like an hour straight to beat him. I can't remember where I'm at on there. I'm pretty high up there, but Kung Fury, the game, it's like $2. Yeah, I'd recommend that one if you like One Finger Death Punch.
I got Homeworld up, and I want to play it, but every time I almost click on it, I end up clicking something else. So
it's weird, right? This kind of like, I feel like it's the same thing as like writer's block for us. It's like, it's there, you want to do it, but you just don't. Well, like Pornhub's right there also. Yeah.
You know what's a factor for me sometimes with these games that are just sitting on my hard drive and I want to play them, but I don't? I was watching some, John Carmack play through the original Wolfenstein and like do commentary for it. It was like for an anniversary thing. It was some random YouTube video I was watching.
I like how Chad, or like he's like, oh, I can't remember. Meanwhile, he just beat off with a picture of him.
I was thinking that. He was fully nude. Yeah.
He can't remember Jar Kamek, the guy he talks about every single week.
Fully nude. Just finished himself off.
Biography, his documentary, and
the audiobook.
Yeah. They're pen pals.
Anyway, so I'm watching this video of him, and he's talking about the game, and he's talking about how he wanted to make it so you could get into the game within seconds. So all you got to do is load up the game, press enter, 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 and boom, you're playing. And a factor for me sometimes when I'm looking at my library, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to sit through a couple of cutscenes. I don't want to wait for like the screen to like lock and go full screen and like do all this shit. Like if a game is just like, I can literally be in the game playing in less than, I don't know, 20 seconds. Like that has a lot to do with if I'm going to play or how often I'm going to play that game.
Yeah, Broforce and Isaac are under 10 each.
Yeah, those games that are just small, they don't take up a lot of space.
So good.
And
meanwhile, Batman, Witcher to some extent. Witcher, yeah. You're talking over a minute probably. So. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's not necessarily the getting in. It's the session that is a big deal for me because like I look at Homeworld and I'm like, fuck, if I play a mission, it's going to be 30 minutes. I'm going to lose the first time because I have no idea what I'm doing in this game. So it's going to be an hour before I beat this mission. Or I could load into Hearthstone and play two matches in 15 minutes and go from there.
Hey, Chad, why don't you tell the people how many hours this weekend you played or you watched 80s BBC drama? How many hours? I don't care.
One is not from the 80s.
Okay.
And two.
How many hours this weekend?
So I got a little faded this weekend. Had a little too much to drink.
We both lost our debit cards. That's how drunk we got on Wednesday.
I probably sat on the couch and watched 12 hours of Netflix.
In 3 days.
I was going to say it's on Sunday.
Okay.
Because I was up till 6 in the morning this morning.
It's a shit show over here, folks. So
this is what happens when two kids that are adults be in a house together and have no responsibilities or adults.
Pretty much.
Barely made it through that sentence. Yeah. All right. this isn't a listener question, but I want to give a shout out to Team Tom, who's been handling our curator business on our Steam group, doing an excellent job there. Recently added a few games, one of them being the original Fear, which is a game that I love. Last year, I played that last summer, and all in one sitting. Still love that game. Fantastic game. Definitely recommend it.
Wow.
Yeah, but check out...
I wasn't a big fan.
No? Of the original one?
It was just office room after office room after office room. The same offices.
I think I beat that game in like 6 hours, though. It's a short game. But yeah, check out our Steam page to see what he's doing on there, doing some short write-ups on that. And thank you very much for doing that.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
All right, news. What do we got? Fallout Shelter sells 5 million worth of lunchboxes. What are lunchboxes?
They're just little, like, random. It's like a little goodie bag. There's random things in there.
It's like a crate in TF2. Could you liken it to that?
Yes, but you have to unlock crates, yeah?
Yeah, with a key.
Yeah, this is like you just buy it and you can open it. And it doesn't have one thing. It has a deck of cards, 5 cards. And I think it has one rare in there. But it's funny because there's no cards anywhere else in the game. But it'll be like, here's some bottle caps. And then here's some bottle caps. Hmm. And then here's a new vault dweller, like a new person in your thing. And here's a gun. And here's a rare, super charismatic guy that's going to bang all your chicks guy. Or something
black
like
dude.
That. A black dude.
So the game itself is free.
Yes.
But you can buy these packages.
Right, but it's not pay to win at all. Like, you could definitely do. I never bought anything. I had a great time with it. Mm-hmm. I only deleted it because it was taking up too much time.
Hmm. Females in Rust introduced and will be assigned at random. So
nice.
You don't
I like
get a
this
choice.
Concept of Rust.
It's almost becoming a social experiment
yeah,
at this point.
It really is.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah. So is breast size going to be determined by last name or anything?
Who knows,
like that?
Man? The possibilities are endless.
Yeah, seriously.
How many people do you think are still playing Rust?
As he types it out to figure it out. concurrent, like right now, as we're speaking?
As
I would
we're
say 3,000 people playing.
Well, let's talk about the daily high. Not right now.
7,000.
7,000?
I will say 700.
700?
Yeah.
You're going pretty low. I'd definitely say more than that. Current players, 9,700. 30-day average, 13,000.
That's not bad at all.
Well, today's high, the 24-hour peak, 18,000. So they still have a pretty good
today's high?
Yeah.
Wow.
All-time peak was 60,000.
Not bad. That's got long legs to it.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, you know, we played the version 2 right after it came out, which was fucking poop on poop.
And we still had fun with that poop on a stick.
Did we? I don't remember having fun. No.
I don't know. It was one of those, we're all together, so it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe now they have all the kinks worked out, or a lot of the kinks.
Yeah.
Looks like they're adding more kink here with the naked females in this one.
I know. Are they going to be naked?
I hope so.
Assume so. Right?
If they're showing cock and balls, they should have no issue showing a little titties, right?
Well, titties. But titties. What about the...
Why not?
Vaginal region.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll put like a leaf over it, you know, like...
Yeah, probably.
Like the Greek statues or something. Batman Arkham Knight will not be fixed and available on the PC until September. What?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. There's going to be a mid patch in August, but what the fuck? And now I was on the side of, not really on their side, but I was defending the game. But you just released a fucking Batgirl DLC. Like, what the fuck? And you're charging $40 for early access to it. Go fuck yourself, Rocksteady. I was really, really on your team. I was really on your team until this. I don't even know if I'm going to play that game.
So, from a development standpoint, they had already created this content before this all this shit went down.
Oh, fuck. Don't put it out until your game's working.
But they have to put it out on consoles. So now what's your choice? You don't put it out on consoles, or you put it out on consoles but not PCs, and now the PC guys are mad that they don't even get the content that the consoles are getting? What choice did they have?
I'm just saying, putting it out and promoting it, you use some calories on that. Some calories were burnt releasing this DLC. Those calories towards, even if it's just a little tiny, even if it's just like Project Go. No, that could have been, even though if it's a different department, I don't care. It's just kind of a kick to the face.
I know. But in the grand scheme of things, their breadwinner is the console. And if their determination is, we already have this content has got to go out now, because if we wait 2 weeks, our tail is tailing off. If we don't put this out now, we're going to lose X millions of dollars.
You're speaking a lot of logic. I'm speaking out of emotion.
Yeah, true. So. And PC's got the short staff or short fucking stick. But that's the same thing we came across. And honestly, from a development standpoint, if the game was as broken as they made it sound to be, the going from July to September to fix this does not seem ridiculous to me.
And they made me look like an asshole because I defended them 2 weeks ago. Asshole. Yeah. Listen, they got to start listening to me because millions and millions of cells really depend on what I say.
Yeah, but that is bullshit.
One of these days it'll be a great game.
They should never have released it on PC. They should have just delayed the PC, said it wasn't ready, taken the little hit that would have been, and just moved on from there. They tried to band-aid to band-aid a gushing blood, thinking that they could...
SpongeBob SquarePants band-aid.
Body was DOA on arrival.
Well, maybe this will be a learning experience, and we'll see less of this in the future.
Yeah.
Bob, I threw this in there for you.
Randy Pitchford wants to make another Duke Nukem. I wonder how serious he is about that. I think he would do better than the last one. I've already expressed my opinion countless times on that.
And I shit on it every time.
Yeah, you're a fan of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best game in the world. I don't think it was deserving of all the criticism that it got. Definitely not. It's one of the few games that I played twice. I played it the first time before I had heard any of the criticism, like day one when it came out. I was like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good game, you know? And then I played it years later after I had heard everything about it. But it has like a 55 on Metacritic, and it's not that bad of a game. I mean, it's not buggy at all. It's not
at least really, 60.
Yeah,
it's not horrible, really, in my opinion.
Nothing has been said more on this podcast than that whole diatribe that just happened.
That was a summarized version of it, too. Yeah, I think in the very
he's
first...
He's explained himself so many times.
Yeah.
Because Bobby hates everything. Like, Bobby isn't a fan of a lot of things, and the fact that he's on board with this... Anyways, we can talk...
I'm very on the fence on a lot of things. I'm not super crazy, like, zealous about a lot of things, and I'm not like, I absolutely hate this to death about a lot of things. And I think... This is it's not so much the game itself. Like, put aside Duke Nukem. I'm just kind of tired about how people just make up their mind. What's the word I'm looking for? Not perception, but expectation plays a lot into this. Mm. If you go see a movie and you're like, oh shit, I was expecting a shitty movie, but that was really good, then you have high opinions of that. If you go in and you're just like, this is going to be the best movie ever, and it performs slightly below that, and you're like, it sucked. You know?
Well, there's a lot of like mob mentality, right? So
yeah.
The first guy to say something, most people, you can see it in classrooms all the time. First kid to raise his hand and say, oh, it's orange. They're like, oh yeah, it's definitely orange. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. That's how human nature is. Yeah. So,
and you can see that exponentially with social media these days.
For sure.
I don't know. I'd be excited to see what they do with another Duke Nukem.
But can we be honest? Can we get past this childish, a 12-year-old created the concept? Like, Duke Nukem is the guy's name. And around saving strippers. And like we've progressed beyond this as a genre, as an entertainment. And if you want to do it as a cliche and go back to satirical, like, I can understand that, but
yeah,
I think
you can do it.
It was campy even the first iteration.
No, they were serious about that.
No, dude.
Yeah,
no, you're killing cops that were pissed.
Look, Quake, Doom.
That was
Duke. Those are all like it's a 12-year-old fantasy.
No, dude, I think Duke Nukem was definitely taking a piss with those other games you just mentioned, Doom and Quake.
Yeah. Because Duke Nukem was made by a rivaling developer from those other games like Doom and some of those early games. So, yeah, it's kind of almost a parody or a satire.
It's a parody.
But the thing is, I mean, look at Broforce. Is that really that much different than this? I mean, that's kind of taking it to an extreme. But I don't know. I don't have a problem with like the content or the quips, and a lot of people criticize it over that. I mean, I don't know. There's plenty to be offended by in video games these days. But
I was on their forums yesterday, the Broforce forums, and people were, it was like, we'll take your suggestions. Here's the things you can't do. Real people, any of the presidents, and like some other stuff. first few fucking things. Real people, and then fucking, I'll take all the presidents. It's just like, fucking, let's get some shit done, guys.
Yeah.
It was funny. Yeah.
It's so hot in here, by the way, that I think the air is turning solid.
Yeah.
It is balls hot.
Like, let's wrap this up.
Satan's dick hot.
PewDiePie makes $7.5 million in 2014. It's a lot of money.
Good for him. I mean, it's not my cup of tea. It's definitely for the younger demographic, but
yeah,
I can't hate on him.
No,
he does what he does very well.
I'm just wondering how much ad blocker and shit cuts into his money.
Oh yeah, probably a lot.
Like, could that be $15 million if it was like, or yeah, is he? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things. PewDiePie, all right. Well, shit, I guess that's it. Announcements?
Next week, I'm going to try this Skyforge out. I'm going to try this bad boy out. I'm going to give it a go.
Check it out.
Since you didn't invite me to play, I'm going to have to play by myself.
I could have swore.
He doesn't like us anymore.
I know.
I could have swore we had this conversation. Like, it was like everybody was on board. I don't know. I played it with Tyler.
Definitely not.
Apparently, you guys weren't involved in that conversation.
Tyler on the podcast? His real friend Tyler, as opposed to his podcast friends.
Yeah. I really want to get Rocket League, though. This game is blowing up. It's all over Twitch. It's like one of the best-selling things on Steam right now. I'm just worried that I'm going to spend $20 and I'm going to have fun with this game for 5-7 hours, and then I'm going to be over it and never play it again.
But that makes it worth it in our...
Is it early access? Because they just had a big patch. Or they're talking about a big patch.
So a lot of this Twitch hype is coming because one of the biggest
guys liked it.
One of the biggest guys is streaming it.
That's so crazy.
Which
man.
Is brings what's up
so
his many name? Questions. What's that guy's name again?
Like, I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, those people have a lot of sway. No.
Yeah,
YouTubers and. I mean, what's his name? The British guy, Total Biscuit. He talks all the time about how games. I think Batman did this. I know Shadow of Mordor did it, where they have specific things that they want. Like, they won't give him the game before it's released to play and do a video about unless he guarantees that it'll say positive things and have, like, a certain amount of call to actions and all this shit. So,
it's not even just that. We're seeing Twitch streamers with 30,000 people, and you can get sway serious numbers that way with, you know, if you get a couple of these big names Twitch guys to do it. So I wouldn't be surprised coming up here if games start doing stuff and pulling, so, you know, online celebrities, so to speak, to kind of promote their product.
I think they already have.
There's a conflict of interest here. Like he was just saying, you want to stay true to your listenership, but you don't want to get paid off by the guys. And, you know, but
that's what I'm saying. Now it's individuals instead of companies or whatever.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at individuals.
But those
morals.
Individuals are businesses. Don't get it twisted.
I know, but how much would they have to pay you right now on this podcast to suck some?
It would never happen. It would never happen. Well, like a lot of money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like there is a line for you.
I got high demands, man. $1 million at least in our own recording studio.
Okay.
Free, like 100 free copies of the game.
Listen up, Blizzard.
Yeah.
Like, I got a list. I got a selling out list. But yeah, I may check out Rocket League. Also, a game came out recently called Quiplash. It's by the guys who made Fibbage and some of those other kind of like mobile games, you know, where you play. And I don't know, Quiplash looks like, what's that game? The worst game or the, you know, that game with all like, it has the cards. You guys had to have played this game.
Oh, Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, Cards Against... It looks like Cards Against Humanity.
How did I get that?
I don't know.
That was gibberish. Whatever came out of his mouth was gibberish.
Hey, guys, there's a game with games. Or it's kind of a game where you do things, right? Cards Against Humanity? Exactly.
Yeah, see, I knew you'd get it.
You got 20 questions. All right.
Is it Cards Against Humanity? Oh, is it Moosecock?
Yes, it's Moosecock.
Is it Giraffe Pants?
But Quiplash looks like Cards Against Humanity without the cards, and you just make up your own stuff.
Okay.
It's $9.99 on Steam right now. It's not on the Google Play Store. I don't know if it's on iOS, but it seems more like a mobile game.
Well, you have to use your phones, right? Isn't that the one that you interact with your phones to get it working, or is that a different game?
Well, you can have... I think, four people playing and then up, like a bunch of people watching. Like you can watch games as they're being played.
I don't Welcome know. To the quiz section of our podcast. There's no answers, but we'll just keep asking questions.
Put it on the corrections department.
Fucking Lavender, he's got a lot of work to do this week. How about you, Amina? What are you playing?
Lisa. Lisa keeps trying, and Witcher. Fucking, yeah, it's that thing. I know I'm going to be playing Witcher for 2 hours. Can I sit down and do it?
Yeah.
Can I? Oh, geez, life is so hard. Do I really want to be madly entertained for 2 hours? I don't know if I can do it.
I'm almost, yeah, it's almost harder for me now to pick a game now that I have Bobby's 60,000 game collection or whatever. Yeah. Like, because every game that I'm looking at...
Play Duke Nukem, dude. Have you ever played it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, play it.
Okay.
Play it off my library.
Every time I want to get a game, I see owned by Digi. And then I'm like, fuck, now I can't buy this because theoretically I can play it off his.
Sure,
and
that
then
family share is costing the video game things millions of dollars a year, for sure.
I don't know.
There's even a Steam group called Family Share, and I guess you go in there and they trade...
That seems dangerous because you're throwing passwords around to accounts. I mean,
well,
you gotta be
the way me and Team Tom did it, we did it through, was that Team Viewer?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we did it through Team Viewer.
Connection.
And, you know, I'm sure there's definitely ways that you can get hacked through that, you know, key loggers and shit like that. But I mean, I trust Team Tom and stuff. So, yeah, I took
plus control. Plus, we only have six games. So,
yeah, I took control of his computer. And after I, cut through the swath of porn, just like crazy amounts of porn on his computer.
Yeah.
I got to Steam.
Weird stuff too, right? With
yeah.
like monkeys and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it was really weird. And it was like, there was sex Steam and then Steam anal. But it was, I kept clicking on these because they had the same icon.
Yeah.
Right. But I had to actually find Steam.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah. That's hard.
Jeez, Tom, calm down.
All right, do the spiel. Let's get this thing done so we can open some windows.
Yes. Check us out at dlgaming.net. That is our website. And you can get to everything from there. Our Twitter account, YouTube account, our Steam group, and also iTunes. Rate and subscribe. Leave a little comment on there. That would help us out immensely. Number one thing you can do for us if you like the show is leave us a comment on iTunes.
Cool.
Cool. And today...